Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
So, oftentimes we come to the house of God with what we believe about God, what we believe about salvation, what we believe about ourselves, and we're quick to put up our defense. Yeah. When the Word of God comes, we want to defend ourselves and hide in some sort of a man-made belief. But I'm glad that the Word of God is quicker than our defense and can get in there and help us live a life in the light, in the truth, and walking with Jesus Christ. Adam is where this mind comes from. And we know, as it was read this morning in the book of Romans chapter 5, about through one man's disobedience, fell into sin and death upon all men, and this nature that we're born with. What I'm amazed is that this nature, what Adam had in him prior to the fall, prior to eating the fruit. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the very last verse, Paul speaking in context about the women should not upset their authority over man. And God made Adam first, then Eve. Then he says, Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. What's amazing to me is that serpent up in that tree had tricked, had beguiled, had fooled Eve in believing that it was okay to partake of that fruit. And she said, well, maybe that's right. And she was deceived into sin. But Adam was not deceived. He heard and he knew that fruit, what God said. He knew down on the inside, God clearly said, no, don't partake of this. He knew that not to disobey God. But Adam, with that mind, with that desire of self on the throne, said, I'm going to do it anyway because it's what I want to do. And so we find that same thought in the heart of this little girl, in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. But I'm grateful that the gospel is still good news. And that when it's preached and the Word of God goes forth, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He died on the cross for man's sin. He was buried in the ground. He rose on the third day with victory and power over death and the grave. And I'm grateful how that the gospel can get in past our defense and past our reasoning. If you have struggles with what you believe tonight, you can reason with God if you want to. To what He said, He gave an open invitation in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. So if you want to reason with me, come on, we'll talk this thing through. But I want to remind you, you can bring your best argument, your best reasoning, but you're not going to win. God has the final say, and He knows you oftentimes better than you know yourself. And so His reasoning always is going to win. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Now then, some of these amazing truths here, as Paul is preaching and he's declaring the very Word of God, it upsets the people. These soothsayers that apprehend this young lady, and I thought about her, and I'll be honest with you, she didn't get in this shape overnight. She's probably, this is somebody's daughter. This is somebody's sister. But now she's controlled by a spirit. And there's other men that are evil, other men that are vile, and they're whoremongers, and they're controlling, and they're using her for their own gain. And so even living down there in the village setting with these Indians that are very, very, very primitive, how they think, how their mind is so twisted in what they believe to be true. Yeah. Even we see it there in Romans chapter 1 where they worship the creation more and over and above the Creator, and how that they are so, to the point of resistance, to the point of even dying for what they believe, affected and controlled by the enemy. Amazing to me. They didn't get there overnight. It's little by little by little. I be careful about what you're watching. Just going to go ahead and say it again. It's on my heart this morning. And I be careful what I let my kids watch. There's so much junk coming out of these days that it'll affect them. It'll mess them up. Live an Exodus man that chant to the devil night after night after night after night, over and over and over again. You begin to see the reality of the spirit world. It's not just something that's some fantasy somewhere, some dream world that just happens to somebody in a faraway place. It's a reality. And to see a man twist his body in ways that doesn't supposed to move. Hey, it's a reality. I'm saying it as a warning this morning. I'd be careful about what I let my children watch and play with. I'd run from all this garbage. I wouldn't let them get around it. It's dangerous. It'll affect them. You say, well, it'll be okay. It'll be all right, preacher. It's just a little movie. And next thing you know, it'll engulf their mind. This being, these spirits will control their thinking. And the next thing you know, they're off in left field. And you wonder how they ever get over there. Reality. Back in the day, back where we're from, in our day, in our neck of the woods, you hear tales of these mad dogs. Them old timers would say that dog's got a funny spirit. It'd be biting itself and biting its tail and doing crazy things that dogs ain't supposed to do. But nowadays, there's so many folks with their minds opened up and their heart gate opened up. These evil spirits don't even need dogs. They jump into people all the time. We try to put them away in some asylum, giving them drugs to help them. It's a reality. I wouldn't watch a Harry Potter movie for nothing in my life. I'm just telling you this morning out of a heart of love. It's just dangerous, man. To be able to see these little kids in this little village where I live affected.
Right.
I mean, these little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, affected by these spirits. I'm saying, it's dangerous. Dangerous. There I was in this place, this man over and over and over again, calling on these spirits, his voice would change in the wee hours of the night. There it was, my next door neighbor, and I'm saying, God, please let me out of this. I don't want no more of this. I'm ready to go home. Let me go back home. I don't want no more of this. The oppression, the darkness, the weight, the pressure, the spiritual warfare was unrelenting. Over and over and over, day in, day out, night after night, sleepless nights, trying to press through, trying to get through to God. And just this just little simple, sweet, still small voice of the Lord saying, persevere. My grace is sufficient for you. I said, Lord, really what am I supposed to hear? But I'll take it and go on and try to preach and try to pray. So I appreciate the apostle here. He's preaching the gospel. He ain't on vacation. He's not somewhere in a foreign country selling used cars. He's not going down a water slide somewhere. He's on the front lines of battle. Got his sleeves rolled up, preaching the gospel in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. The devils of hell are racing against him, and he's plunging through, and in all authority and all power given unto him, he rebuked that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone and come out. And at very same hour, the spirit left her alone, left her away, And those masters that controlled her, those masters that was trying to get gain on her, they said, this man's causing us much trouble. He's taking away our profit. He's taking away our gain. And they get this rascal, and they conspire together. They bring Paul and Silas to the magistrates and have their backs beaten. Have their the clothes stripped off. Up to this point, I can't find anything that Paul's done wrong. I can't read anywhere where Silas has done anything against what God had said. They're obeying God. They're doing what God has said. They're following God's instruction. They're walking in the light of God's counsel. And they're obeying the Word of God. Now they're in a great season of suffering. Their backs are laid open. Their stripes are, they're in stocks. They're in the inner prison. Darkness all around. But at this place, Paul has already got a truth tucked in his belt. And he knows all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. He already knows some things that He is instilling into other groups of people and other places. He's already said to the church in Galatia there in chapter 6, He said, I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word mark there literally means to be branded. They would brand slaves in those days. They would take this man and they would put a brand on him. And I got to pondering on that. And you know, it's not for the slave. He knows who his master is. That brand's not for him. The master knows who slaves are his, so the brand's not for him. But the brand is for everybody else to know. Hey, that one belongs to that one up there. And so I appreciate the times when God has us in places where seemingly our backs are laid open. We've obeyed God. We've done what He said to do. We've said yes to God. We've said, sure, Lord, we'll walk with You. We'll trust You. But our backs are striped. Our backs are weary. Our feet are in stocks. And we're in a place of suffering and in a place of struggle. I'm grateful for the good grace of God. And as Paul said, in my body, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. All them other prisoners in there can't look and see that I belong to somebody of a higher authority whose name is Jesus Christ. By the good grace of God, He commands the winds and waves. He raises up the stormy waters in Psalm 107. It's God Himself, the author and finisher of our faith. God has got Paul exactly where He wants him. In this place, they sing praises to God at midnight. Silas, there's no need to worry. I know we can't see it just now, but God's got this thing worked out. I know we don't understand it just now, but God is doing something above and beyond our understanding. Far above our imagination, our comprehension, our thoughts. Far above that, for He said, my thoughts are bigger than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And so He said, let's just go ahead and sing us a song.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son to make us.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.